All right, it's a show. It's on. It's episode 291 of the Star Wars Report podcast. We're following up on the amazing D23 reveals of Star Wars Land, or Galaxy's Edge, as it's now known. And I've got a special guest coming up right now. Hey, what's up, people? Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Having a good old time. We're partying it up here at the Star Wars Report podcast. It's just about that most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting this side of the Outer Rim. I'm super glad to be back with you guys this week. It's going to be a little bit of a different formatted show, but I had to get him on. He's got thoughts, and I think it's going to lend some perspective to some of the potential of what Galaxy's Edge might be, because we've kind of talked about like what we know so far. But I'm really excited to have one of my favorite Star Wars fans, podcaster extraordinaire, and also one of the co-creators of Action News. I'm sure you'll tell us all about it. It's Justin Robert Young, everybody.
Well, thank you, Riley. Good to be back.
It's good to talk to you, man. You're still into the Star Wars? My brain just kind of switched, and I suddenly wanted to have the Rogue One discussion. Then I realized how hopeless that would be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rogue One wasn't my cup of tea, but it's fine. We can all move on.
Can we can survive Star Wars movies we don't like? No.
Yeah. No, I think, listen, we've had to do a lot of it. So.
Yeah, man. So I was there at D23, and it was absolutely awesome. In fact, I was sort of at the pre-Star Wars Land, Star Wars Land. I didn't really talk about it on the show. But yeah. I had a chance to go out to my buddy J.C. Reifenberg's pop-up cantina that he did, the Scum and Villainy Cantina, where he has this fan Star Wars-themed place where you can literally just go get drinks at the cantina.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. It was amazing. Like, I've posted some photos of it. It's absolutely incredibly well done. And it's all like, it's a passion project. He and a bunch of his buddies just like, hey, I bet we know people who build sets, right? Yeah, it's Hollywood. Let's do it. So they just built the Star Wars bar, but that was kind of the preview. And I had a chance to talk to your friend of mine, Andrew Main, out there, and it was a good time. But that was sort of the preview of like now we've got the big boy news, the Disney news, the billion-dollar park news. What was your reaction to all the Galaxy's Edge stuff, man?
Well, you know, there seems like there has been a very, very deliberate arms race over the past 10 years, right, between Universal Studios with Harry Potter and the tremendous success that they've had, and Disney trying to kind of lay claim back to what they are best known as, right? As creating these, you know, one of a kind, need to fly around the world sort of spectacles. And as they sort of cast their eye to China and some other stuff, it feels like Universal has really, really kind of closed the gap. But part of the reason why you pay as much as you do for Marvel and you pay as much as you do for Star Wars if you're Disney is to leverage them in literally every way you can. So a Star Wars Land was inevitable, and you would expect that they would put as much effort as humanly possible into making this something that is just going to be literally the most crowded two corners of America for the next 10 years.
Are you kidding me? I saw some of the memes online of like the beautiful, you know, that beautiful model that they had showing off, and they had these sort of like scattered, really cool kind of clear plastic vestiges of people, just a sampling, a sprinkling of people waltzing through the park. I'm like, yeah, no, that's not the way it's going to be. And then they have these Photoshopped pictures, not unlike the Trump rallies. Anyway, that's the other podcast Justin does. But yeah, it was the idea of it. They kind of subverted my expectations. I mean, I knew it's been this way because they've been working on this thing for 2 years. But what I initially would have thought they were going to do is more of a greatest hits of Star Wars. Like, if you're going to do a theme park, you're just going to go to the most popular locations and build attractions around that.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
So to do, you know, do an Alderaan and do a Millennium Falcon and do a Mos Eisley and just play the hits.
Exactly. Basically like a Battlefront tournament, but just a Disney Park version of it.
But, you know, that really kind of goes against what the trend has been lately, right? Which is more immersion. That, and also, if you do the greatest hits, that means you can't build Mos Eisley in 3 years, right?
And yep.
You know, the idea seems to be that, you know, if hey, they opened Hogwarts for first for Harry Potter and then did Diagon Alley, right?
Yeah.
And if these Fantastic Beasts movies do well, I'm sure they'll open a New York magic thing or something, right?
Yeah.
The concept of walking into the movie is huge, and I think, you know, the fact that they're doing something that's more outer, you know, as Galaxy's Edge is the name of it, and can give you a nice little cross section of what Star Wars was, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, and now what it is today, I think is smart for them to create a new world.
Yeah, it's essentially. I get the sense, I was very overwhelmed by just talking to the Imagineers when they were very proudly finally able to talk about this project they've been working on so long. And what strikes me, it's twofold. It's so ambitious, I'm not even sure it can work. I think it'll work long term. I'm not sure this version of it's going to be quite as wonderful as it's painted initially. But talking to the Imagineers, they're not trying to build a theme park where you experience Star Wars. They're building a movie where you go. Basically,
yeah.
It's almost mind-boggling, because I think this is a big turning point in terms of this kind of immersive entertainment.
Certainly so, and you've seen a lot of it beyond this. You know, Sleep No More is a very, very popular show in New York, where you are immersed into, I believe, Macbeth. And you know, out in San Francisco, they have a great show called Speakeasy, where you are in a 1920s speakeasy on a very, very fateful night in San Francisco. So the idea of you being a part of this swirl of action and being able to sort of follow through and interact lightly with some of the characters is something that's happening a lot. And I'm kind of surprised that Disney hasn't done more of this on a small scale before.
Yeah.
I've heard that there's some of it on their cruise ships and stuff. And so maybe that was kind of an Imagineering test ground, but they haven't really brought it to the park in a major way, although they certainly have. You know, remember when Fantasyland opened and they had all those viral videos of, like, you know, Gaston doing push-ups and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess that they have been sort of, now that I think about it, they've been hinting at this idea of it's not just cast members in suits posing for Instagram pictures with your children,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it could be something bigger, which is interesting.
I mean, it's so much better. Like, so the difference between getting a photo op with Ariel and then going and then taking your kids to go on an undersea adventure with Ariel is vast. Same thing applies to Star Wars. Like, I've never been one for photo ops. It's cool, and I had friends of mine who are like, oh, let's go to the Star Wars character photo op. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just a picture with the character.
I've heard that's dope, though. I have. Yeah,
But the thing is, they built it up. It's like a whole experience with lights and interaction and dialogue, and you talk to the character. And so even that's kind of testing the grounds, where it's just not like they play Kylo Ren's theme, you take the picture, and then he kicks you out. In fact, fun fact, Justin, so I was at the Star Wars exhibit thingy they've got at Hollywood Studios right now. I'm blanking on the name of it, but, you know, it's where they have the photo ops and some cool props and a video and just some general kind of Star Wars-y stuff. And I was with my friend Teresa. She's a big kind of dark side fan. And we went through, we did the photo op, and we were ushered. It was this, like, hallway that looked like you were inside some sort of Imperial warship. And you walk in, there's Kylo Ren, and there's steam and lights, and he's talking to us, and it's the whole thing. And we take the picture, and then as we walk out, and she's just, like, freaking out, like, a little more than I was, I'll be honest, because I'm not as much. I can be a little bit hard to impress sometimes. I have to reach in and pull the kid out sometimes. But, man, Teresa was going crazy. Like, oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And then simultaneously, both Teresa and I kind of look back. And now we're back into the sort of lobby area where you exit. And, like, in her face, 6 inches behind her, is Kylo Ren as she turns around. He just literally followed us out. And, like, that's that extra great little touch, and of course, she screamed quite loudly, which is, of course, great, because it causes an attention. Everybody's, ooh, that's Kylo Ren. Oh, wow, let's get in line for Kylo Ren. And boom, you know, that's this experience they have. So it's that, I've seen that kind of microcosm at the lower level of just going to see the Star Wars stuff they're doing now at Hollywood Studios. The vision of this park, I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again on this podcast. It's basically, it's like Star Wars Westworld. That's the end game. I don't think this is it, but man, we're getting close.
Well, you know, and from watching a lot of these sort of interactive and immersive theater shows, the question is, how well does that scale?
Yeah.
Because in general, you need, you know, you need more people than you have there, right? To immerse people kind of effectively. And now set dressing does a lot, music does a lot to set the scene, and obviously Disney is going to have no shortage of the world's most talented people putting this together. So I don't doubt that they can do it, but it is something that kind of makes you think and wonder, like, how much of a personal touch are you going to get when everybody is elbows to butt cheeks, you know, trying to get anywhere to buy a turkey leg?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that makes sense. And that is going to be, I think, the one major drawback that they'll have to, like, as much as the Imagineers are building all this awesome stuff, the actual practical side of Disney that actually has to staff this and make it actually run, that is going to be a huge challenge.
I think they can do it because they are Disney, but initially when
there's going to be some growing pains.
Well, I mean, certainly anything of that scale is going to have growing pains, at least you would expect. And I think if people want the most full vision of an interactive situation, they're probably going to want to go early rather than later, because in general, you know, these kinds of things, as they get fixed, usually tend to pare down instead of up, right?
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes sense. And that's the thing, like, I think that's why they actually kept the number of actual, like, major attractions down. It's just not like, here's this Star Wars roller coaster, and then here's that thing. There's literally two major attractions. And so you've got the Millennium Falcon and you've got the battle, the First Order and Resistance battle.
Yeah.
And I've heard this very reliably third hand. In fact, this may even be public. I don't even know. But I heard this very reliably third hand that the Magic Band process is going to be really, really tied into this kind of stuff, where you do on the Millennium Falcon, what I've heard specifically is for the Millennium Falcon ride, the choices you make or the success that you have on that mission affects you know, whether or not, like, if you fail at the mission, you can get a bounty on your head. If you wreck the Falcon, people are going to be ticked at you. Or if you win it, there are other cool things you can, like, unlock in the park, is what I'm hearing. And so, like, that idea is great, but it's going to be hard to scale if there are, like, you know, 10,000 people in the park and 3,000 of them have bounties on their heads. You know,
yeah.
Actually, paint a little bit of a picture for me, Justin, because you touched on it. And the Weird Things podcast you guys do, and After Things, you guys should check it out, because you, Andrew Main, Brian Brushwood had a discussion on this, and you touched on this speakeasy experience. Do you mind giving a little bit more perspective on what that's like, and specifically, like, how you could incorporate that type of experience into a park like this?
So, for example, you know, this is the, you know, if anybody who's listening in the Bay Area, I highly recommend you go. SpeakeasySF.com, I believe, is the website. But, you know, for that, you get assigned a time and an entrance, and there are three different ways that you can begin your experience, either in the bar, in the showroom, or in the casino. And the stories that kind of begin in there, you can either give up on and find other people that are more interesting to you, or you can follow them around. And so the idea is, you don't interact with them necessarily until they interact with you, which I think will be a little bit more of a challenge in what is a less controlled atmosphere in Disney. But if somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I need a hand with something," you follow them, you know, and meanwhile, you're able to kind of peer into rooms that you wouldn't normally be able to see into. Like, there's a double mirror into the showgirls' dressing room, so you get all that hot gossip, and then you can peer into the mobster owner's office, and you kind of see the shady dealings of this bootlegger, basically, and all the strife that he's going on. And so what I would imagine for Star Wars, and this I think probably more in the hotel where they were talking about things being fully immersive and less the park, because I think the park for me is probably going to be a little bit more bells and whistles, right? So you come out. I mean, because how else would they mass, handle that amount of humanity? Like,
yeah.
You're going to walk out of, you know, the Millennium Falcon ride, and you'll either have done it or not, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe when you go get popcorn, somebody slips you a note or something like that, right? Because yeah. you've done something or not done something else. Like, I feel like it'll be just in your natural interaction in the park, and it'll be more of an incentive to use your magic band, right?
Yep.
You will get this other custom layer. But in the hotel, I think you can do a lot. Like, you can read everybody the riot act when they come in. Like, hey, look, these are very, very shifty, strange people. So don't talk to them until they talk to you. Like, you're new here. Play it cool. Yada, yada, yada. And they can take you on a bunch of really, really, really cool things. And that's what I think will be the draw. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how many bells and whistles they need to add to that hotel, because I think that's probably going to be the only way anyone's going to get through that park is to get into one of the resorts where you can get in early.
Yeah, which I'm first in line, definitely.
Yeah.
Taking my hard-earned money once again, Disney. Well, and just to give you an idea, that's where the Millennium Falcon ride, that's going to be the insane line. The way they're designing the battle is it's set in that, I don't know how many of the pictures you saw of the park, but there's this giant hangar, this kind of old broken-down hangar, and there's going to be a near-to-scale like Star Destroyer. So it's like that attraction, quote-unquote, is just going to be one of the biggest they've ever done. That's really all the details we have. I just know it has to be huge if you want to be able to, actually feel like you're participating in a battle in Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'll tell you what, man. It's been I'm excited. And you mentioned the hotel. I like the idea that probably is the premium experience. Like if there's an adventure to be had, I just love the idea of going to the hotel, and we gave the details on last week's episode, but that's just the beginning. Like, what they can do with the hotel is almost as exciting as the park, especially to the extent that they are able to tie those two narratives together. That's exciting.
Well, the other thing that's exciting about the hotel is that's something that they can turn over a lot faster than the theme park, and that is another element that I think is key and crucial here about creating a world that is not specifically tied to these experiences from the movie. Is that, you know, for Harry Potter World, right?
Yeah.
They can turn Harry Potter World into Voldemort Takes Over in a year, right? Mm-hmm. They can make it a new version of that. You can make that Galaxy's End overrun by the First Order and now make it a substantially enough to encourage people to come back different experience.
Yeah.
And specifically with the hotel, you can create new adventures all the time. You can constantly be rolling out new adventures in a way that is obviously going to be something that people want to come see, but is more cost effective than tearing something down and building something new again, which is what you're locked into once you build a ride, you know, a roller coaster.
Yeah, and there was sort of this... that's really where Star Wars started to take off in the parks, was when they... the start of the advent of Star Wars weekends in like the early 2000s at Hollywood Studios, where they're just going to say, hey, Star Wars fans, each summer on the following weekends is when you should come. And that they'd bring in celebrity guests and they'd have stage shows and programming, and it would basically be incentive. That's the first time I went to Disney ever. Like, I never went as a kid. It wasn't really a thing. So what got me there was Star Wars. So I think that's already a testament to how they know the value of bringing in content like that, and then, of course, just layering Star Wars on top of it. Now, granted, like, Galaxy's Edge by itself is enough to last them probably for, like, you know, 5 years. Like, there will be no... That's almost, I'd say, a problem in the level of interest there's going to be up front. There's not going to be that much incentive to spend extra money on revamping the park to get you a different experience if it's just, like, you know, the wait time's obscene anyway. But, you know, that's the nature of when... You know, that'll all change when Star Wars is no longer popular and we'll just be us, you know, talking about the Timothy Zahn books and that's never gonna happen again.
No we are in the never-ending high period of Star Wars fandom.
Practical effects. The Last Jedi, We glossed over it last week. I'll be honest. The Last Jedi released their behind-the-scenes reel. They screened this at D23. This is the thing that got overshadowed. I think a testament to it being is, Justin, you haven't had a chance to see it, right?
I have not, no. I mean, I've seen the GIFs.
Oh, so you've seen the porgs, is what you're saying.
I've seen some dancing. Some shimmying would be the best way to describe it.
What an age we live in. This is Star Wars marketing. You don't need to see the video. Just like we'll see the funny little space penguins.
Yeah, you know, that's just the thing is I've been out here kind of doing this press tour down here in Austin for Action News, and even this morning I was just like thumbing through my Twitter, and it's like now all the Comic-Con stuff has mm-hmm. dropped. And so it's like, oh, I didn't see that yet. Oh, I didn't see that yet. Oh, I gotta watch that. And so I'm still digging myself out.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I'm still overwhelmed from the stuff that they showed at D20. Disney has so much stuff. Like they showed off a bunch of Infinity War footage.
Yeah,
that's amazing, by the way. And I was like, I'm good to go. And then they just dropped like five more film trailers. I feel like,
yeah,
you can't even keep up with the stuff, man.
No, we're so spoiled. No, It's pretty crazy, and it's it really is just a great time. You know, I mean, obviously Star Wars has kind of had a little bit of a bad bout of kind of news and press, right? You know, with the whole
the
Han Solo thing and
oh, Rogue you should One. Have seen Justin. You should have seen Alan Horn just like and a Han Solo movie. Hey, Last Jedi.
Yeah, I don't think that the less they could talk about that probably is bad.
They literally like just threw up a screen with the logo we've already seen, and it just says in like the Star Wars story font, an untitled Star Wars film. It's just like, wow, oh man. But they did show off this behind the scenes reel. Now here's you don't need to see any of it. There's the funny space pigs. There's dancing. You've already seen the gifts. Here's what you need to hear, Justin. I'm gonna play this little. I rarely do this because I'm a lazy podcaster, but I actually bothered to do prep. Here's a little taste of some of the, you know, they'll like slip in some serious dialogue, an excerpt of Mark Hamill or Daisy Ridley talking about the film, you know. Let's let's take a listen. There it is, right here.
Ryan has written a story that's unexpected but right. Some of the stuff that happens, people are going to be like, oh my god. It feels like its own thing.
Everything is being shifted in an opposite way to what the audience expected after 7. Fresh and new.
I'm hoping it'll be a little shocking, but I'm hoping it'll feel real and honest.
That's just a supercut of all of them saying, it's different, it's not a carbon copy, we promise. It's different, guys. Hey, guys, it's unexpected, different, challenging, a different direction. The total opposite direction, in fact.
Yeah, you know,
it ends with John Boyega getting unfrozen in carbonite at the end of the movie, and a shocking turn of events.
It does seem like Force Awakens, they very much wanted to say, real effects, realism, we're going back to the desert, we're not shooting on...
I mean, that's literally, you're quoting the behind-the-scenes reel of The Force Awakens from 2
exactly,
years ago.
Exactly, yeah, and it was just, yeah, if J.J. Abrams spitting on anything green or blue, right, and just saying, we're actually going to space to shoot everything, and that was obviously messaging to reassure people from who were not in love with the prequels, and... This is, I think you're right. It's absolutely to reassure people that liked Episode 7, but were like, yeah, I liked it when it was called A New Hope, too.
Yeah, it's funny because I think there's an artistry in how well they captured the best themes of Episode 7 because with enough differences to where when I first watched the movie, it's not like I was sitting there like, well, that was definitely from A New Hope. I mean, it's not like there was a lingering shot of blue milk or something. That would be crazy.
Well, I mean, but the thing that I think Episode 7 did well, and I will give Episode 7 slack, because Episode 7 was not so much a movie as it was an opening establishment for a multi-billion dollar property.
Let's be honest. It was the Star Wars opening number.
Well, and it had a lot to kind of make up for, right? It was something that needed to kind of get a franchise back on a pace that people really liked. And ultimately, differences about Rogue One aside, I think what they want to do here is maybe the rarest thing that they have done in Star Wars, which is begin to chart kind of brave new territory. And that's something that even if you loved Rogue One, I don't think that a lot of people could say, except for maybe the ending, you know, which obviously was of a different tone with in regards to the main characters. But aside from that, like from what really is Star Wars, which is fun lore, great characters, dashing tales of hope and adventure, we have not had substantially new stuff with the Star Wars stink on it in a very, 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 very long time, and at least on the big screen.
Yeah.
So that's what they want to sell here.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I can't disagree with you. Like, as much as I enjoyed Rogue One, in fact, I walked out of Rogue One, and I think it's the high of that last scene. It's just so well done, the Vader sequence at the end. But like, I walked like, that was Star Wars rock and roll. But it's not a very, for me, it's not as rewatchable a film as The Force Awakens. I just really enjoy plopping down and like going to see The Force Awakens. I saw that like 10 times, 11 times in theaters. Rogue One, I saw a few times in theaters and enjoyed it each time. But yeah, I think it is. I'm telling you what, the hallmark of you know what they're talking about? John Boyega's, they're moving in the opposite direction. The true hero, it turns out. Luke Skywalker dies in the first act and then passes on the legacy of the Jedi to the Porgs!
To the Porgs!
Those things. Oh, by the way, there is actually a total shot. There's definitely a shot at the beginning of that behind the scenes reel of Chewie just sitting by himself at a campfire at the Millennium Falcon, just kind of probably checking his watch, waiting for Rey to finish training, because you know he was in that Millennium Falcon when they parked.
Oh yeah.
Probably not unlike. Porgs are roasting on an open fire. All right, I'll stop. That's that is a show, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So here we go.
Hold on. Can we talk about one more Star Wars thing?
Oh, dude.
Tangentially Star Wars related.
I'm here for you, sir.
Have you seen the Book of Henry? And if not, are you planning on seeing the Book of Henry?
I have absolutely no plans on the Book of Henry. In fact, I couldn't tell you who Henry is, what the book is about.
Yeah.
I just know who the director is.
Are you in all... When I said the Book of Henry, does that inspire fear in you or confidence? Like, what? Just give me a base reaction to the fact that the next director of the next Star Wars movie has just put out a movie that is almost universally reviled.
Yeah, my reaction wasn't that strong. I think it's a bad sign, but I've had my challenges with the idea of Colin Trevorrow. I'm sitting here and I'm just waiting for a good movie, because Lord knows I don't make movies, and so I don't think necessarily like there are plenty of directors who've had bad movies and then make a great one. In fact, in the Marvel universe, there's a lot of examples, but it's not a good sign. And I had my problems with Trevorrow as a director, going back, because I liked Jurassic World, but it wasn't like, man, here's a guy who's hungry, right? Disney likes getting hungry directors who have a vision.
And writer directors.
Yeah.
And really good writer directors. I mean, J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson are probably the two, you know, top. I mean, they are in that kind of rare pantheon with Joss Whedon and people that have done big, well-liked, mass market, mass appeal kind of movies like this. And certainly Trevorrow directed Jurassic World. But I don't know. I mean, more than whether or not the movie's going to be good, I'm kind of wondering, considering how itchy of a trigger finger Kathleen Kennedy's had with directors, whether or not he is the director of Episode.
I don't know what you're talking about. One thing about Disney, they stick by their choices like a rock. Nothing's going to change in the production. Once they set that destination, that GPS is locked in. Oh, wait, where's
Lord & Miller? Where's Josh Trank? It seems like Rogue One was all but taken away from the director to be kind of reshot and re-edited. So it's interesting that, you know, to think, well, is that just going to go to somebody else? Or if Rian Johnson if they love what they see with eight, is it just back up the Brinks?
I will. You know what's building your case, Justin? I don't know if you saw this. Ryan was at an interview when he was doing press at D23, and I saw this guy. I think it's Variety. It's like, so would you like to ever come back to the Star Wars universe? And here's the normal things. Yes, I had such a great time. It would be a privilege and honor to do anything like that again. No, he looked like directly back at the interviewer. He was like, yes, absolutely. I want, like, the, yeah, that needs to happen. This is, yes, definitely. So I will say this, of all the stuff I'm always like fourth and fifth hand. I'm not like some kind of super insider just because I podcast about this stuff.
Yeah.
But what I did here, I heard a lot of behind the scenes drama from Rogue One. I've heard a lot of behind the scenes drama from, Han Solo, third and fourth and fifth hand.
Yeah.
But I will say this, not a peep on anything eight. So like whatever it is, they're happy with it. Like it's fairly smooth sailing from everything I've heard.
In all the kind of behind the scenes stuff that everything that was leaked in that Han Solo stuff that was obviously coming from Disney, because Lord and Miller aren't going to trash their own reputation, right?
Yeah.
They made sure to say everything's fine with eight. Eight's great. We love eight. We love Ryan. Ryan's the best. This has nothing to do with that. No. What? No. You have a problem firing directors. I don't have a problem firing directors.
That's so true. That's so true. Action news, Justin, tell everybody about it, because you have this awesome new project. Of course, you were on the show a while back when you guys did this, The Contender, which goes straight to the political science nerd in me. Now you're making Action News. Tell us about it.
So Action News is a great social party game. If you enjoy games like Apples to Apples or Super Fight or Cards Against Humanity, it is in that realm, but I do think it plays substantially different. Effectively, you and your friends are a news team. One of you is an anchor. The rest of you guys are reporters. The anchor assigns real news stories. These are stories that have happened in the past, and it's one sentence. And then everybody, you don't have a hand of cards at any time. You have a big grid in the middle. It's a timed, competitive refrigerator magnet poetry session where everybody's grabbing from this big grid of sentence fragments. You combine them with your one real sentence to create a script. Everybody reads them, and the winner becomes the new anchor. But here's where things get fun. Each time you win a role of the anchor, you get a Scoops Award. These are these fun little tokens that allow you to affect somebody else's script in the next round. So, for example, you can make them talk like a BBC reporter, or you can make them say the word apparently before every card. You can have them wink three times during the story or roll their eyes, stuff like that. As the game goes on, the scripts get sillier, the performances get goofier, and everybody has an absolute blast. It is kickstarting right now. I believe we have 10 days to go. We are in the big final push here. So yes. Head on over there, actionnewsgame.com. We are already funded, but the more backers we get, the more cards we can put in the game. So head on over there and check it out, actionnewsgame.com.
Awesome, Justin. We will throw a link on the show notes for episode 291. You guys can click it there, and of course I'll plaster it across our social media. Justin, dude, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show and nerd out about the Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are definitely just points throughout my time getting the awesome privilege of hanging out with Andrew Main, where just like as the various levels of Star Wars nerdery devolve, and I was kind of like bringing like Star Wars friends and 501st guys, and so like the inevitable cross section of differing opinions always comes up, and then we just eventually every once in a while just keep breaking down. It's just like, it's Star Wars, you guys, it's the Star Wars.
Yeah, no. Andrew Main with strong Star Wars opinions. Now I've seen everything.
No, it's never, never. All right, Justin, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Absolutely, Riley. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure being on.
That's right. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Just sitting back down to finish up the show today. What a pleasure, as always, to have Justin Robert Young on. Check it out. Action News Game. That's what you want to search for. Jump on the old Kickstarter. Looks like a good time. It's always good to have. I there are people that I like to get on the show who have enormous respect for just who they are as people. and what they're able to do as creatives, and that I sometimes it's a little intimidating. So I always wait to ask them on the show when they have something to plug, and I know that there's something. So like Justin has a really cool project, so go support it. Action News, we'll have it there. Other people, you know, they're just like my friends, and I just have them on all the time anyway. How's it going, Bruce?
So in other words, you really don't want me on. I'm not that interesting.
Of course. But do you have a brand new original card game out available now on Kickstarter?
I don't, but I want to play one with Justin Robert Young. I've heard him talk about it.
But there you go. Exactly.
I actually listened to him. Yes, I'm very familiar with this game.
Wait. How do you... Hang on. The real question is how... What is... You listen... All right, I'm so confused. The podcast listening habits are coming to fore here. All right, not about that. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. All right, now I'm in a Star Warsy mood. That did it for me. I'm back. Several hours later as we're doing this segment of the show, which is very rare. We haven't done that in a long time where I'll record segments separately throughout the day. But Bruce, you're coming in. Where are you? I don't even know what part of the country you're in.
I am in Indianapolis, Indiana today.
Well, you didn't have to go there just for here, the show.
I didn't. I like to get around because I want to meet our listeners, and I haven't met any yet here. But I did go to St. Elmo's, which is a famous steak restaurant here that's been open since 1902. And the steak is fabulous, and they have great shrimp cocktail. They import the shrimp from Vietnam to here. Is so good.
Hang on. But you just reminded me of Steve Glosson. Like St. Elmo's Fire? 1985, everybody.
I know, I couldn't help. That's how I can remember the name of the place, because of St. Elmo's Fire.
I don't know any of the words.
I think those are the words, aren't they?
Is that it? Is it?
And then it's St. Elmo's Fire.
There's already been so much singing. Even before you came on, Bruce, there was the porgs are roasting on Chewie's fire.
You gave me a preview of that before we started recording. Why am I not on with Justin Robert Young? Come on.
We can only handle so much coolness.
That's true. And you can only handle so much promotions of card games.
No. Something like that.
Presidential card games, that is.
All right. Let me be honest. So we're sitting down here. We're going to do two things. We're going to record a quick wrap up of the Comic Con news that is coming out of the Comic Con. Have you heard of the Comic Con, Bruce?
I have heard of the Comic Con.
Say, lovey, have you heard of the Comic Con? I hear they show all the latest Marvel things, even though you went to D23 just to see all the Marvel stuff. And then we're skipping San Diego this year. We're not really going to show anything new. Thor trailer, Wonder Woman trailer, Black Panther footage. All right, guys. Fine, be that way. But there's some Star Wars stuff that's been going on at Comic-Con. We're going to do that. And then I'm going to tease right now. In fact, I'm just going to, I've got it queued up anyway. Why not? This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the fine folks supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Directly support this very program and get some really cool bonuses along the way. I won't bore you by telling you all of them right here, right now. But suffice to say, we're down to five patrons from unlocking the monthly... I'm going to take a guess, Bruce. The monthly...
podcast?
Megapod! A Megapod we will unlock.
the Megapodcast. And that's thanks to this week's featured patron supporter, a gentleman who's a patron supporter in so many more ways than one, in that he let me stay at his house. Fun fact, he's just jumped into I just added him to the Patreon chat that we have.
Is this part of the bonus of being a patron, is that you stay at their house?
A bonus? That's a huge cost to them. I don't think that's a bonus for anybody but me. No, Patrick Bonfrisco, I hope I'm pronouncing the last name right, was super cool. I met him at D23 through the Star Wars Underworld guys, and we were hanging out a lot Saturday after we left the convention center at Downtown Disney, and he found out my plans to, like, go at, like, 9 o'clock at night, straight back to the airport, nap, and then fly out at 5 a.m., and it's like, dude, get a couple hours of sleep. So I got a couch to sleep on, got some solid hours of sleep, and was able to fly into Atlanta, recover that Sunday beautifully, and go back to work this past Monday. Like, so seriously, he's given all of the patron support, all of the patronage he needs to for forever. but also, we appreciate you, Patrick, for jumping on. That's why you're this week's featured Patreon supporter. Thanks for jumping on board. And you get to be like Patrick if you jump on. It's a buck, and you can join the Facebook chat, and that's kind of where we keep things kind of live and happening as we kind of talk about Star Wars throughout the week in our exclusive Patreon chat. And number two, at the $5 level, that's where we drop our Rogue Transmissions podcast, which this week's topic of conversation will be a flea that sat on the shoulder of Luke Skywalker and how dumb that is. Riley's going to rant about that in the bonus content because you probably shouldn't put it on the main show. So that's what, if you want to hear that.
Well, it's canon.
Don't rub off. Pain.
Well, no, this is really good. And of course, we'll save it for the Rogue Transmission because I really want to hear what you have to say. But I think this is the first indication we've received that there are fleas in the Star Wars universe.
I swear, Mark Herleman somewhere out there is like, no, actually, in this other book.
Mark's like, well, in Legends, there was one book that had a flea.
You know, in Legacy of the Force, books 13... our Mark Herleman impression is terrible. I'm sorry, Mark. All right. But that's it. Rogue Transmissions, of course, the chat on tons of other exclusive content, including this upcoming weekend's, as you're listening to this Skype hangout session with me, Bruce, and a bunch of the patrons. It's all available. Check out the bonuses at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We need 5 more people to unlock that awesome Megapod. I don't know why St. Elmo's Fire just became the bed music for that whole plug, but it kind of works, I think, right?
I'm burning a lot of food from St. Elmo's, I'll tell you that. I ate so much. I'm so full.
Oh, man. So let's swing through. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to swing through this. Here's the problem. So much of this stuff is so boring.
What we have in the notes?
That sounds like it's a commentary on you. No, I'm just talking about like the stuff from Comic-Con. We have one word from the crawl. We have some book titles. We got, what else we got? I sound like I'm looking at a bad Chinese buffet. We got some Poe Dameron, Jake Copilot. We got whatever. We got some books. We got that. That's a show, guys. IDW Publishing.
No, game. That's not boring.
I am actually interested in the Dave Filoni tweet. It seems like a thing now.
All right, well, let's talk about that.
Let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, let's talk about that, Bruce.
I'm producer. Let's
talk about Star Wars. Dave Filoni tweeted that Ahsoka and Kanan knew each other as younglings. So we get this sort of cool, it looks like an email thread, a screen capture.
Yeah, he posted like a little thread of some information. And just so you know, Riley, Kanan is from Rebels. I don't know, since you don't watch that anymore.
Why do I? Why I like some of Rebels.
Oh, okay.
I really like some of Rebels. There's some Rebels that's like every bit as good as some of the films. I'm just some Rebels great. Like there are. Listen, there is a percentage. There's some kind of percentage of episodes of Rebels that are really good. I'm just saying that, right? It's positive.
Yeah.
Glass half. Glass 33% full.
Well, that's your opinion, of course. And there's no fleas, so maybe that has something to do with it, too.
Don't.
No fleas. Anyway, what about Dave Filoni's tweet?
Happy Friday, everyone. He says, since you seem to enjoy these drawings I've been doing, here's another tale left untold. Until now, that is. If you've ever wondered what Kanan and Ahsoka, if they knew each other, or had met while they were younglings at the Jedi Temple, the answer is yes, they had met. Kate and Anasoka sitting in a tree. No, wait, that's a... They met, although they did not know each other very well. They had at least done some saber training together. Years later, she met Kanan. Ahsoka needed to see how prepared he was for the conflict ahead. Here's a small piece of that scene, and perhaps a realization that in many ways, Ahsoka was a mentor to Kanan. Kanan? Who's Kanan?
He's in Rebels.
Ahsoka, even at a young age...
Now, this is Ahsoka talking.
All right. No, I know that.
But you got to get, you know, work on the voice.
I know. What's funny is that the second I saw that, I was like, oh, wait, I need to, we need something. Hang on. There we are. Right? Setting the mood?
Yes.
We get some Ahsoka here from the best of Star Wars, the Clone Wars. Even at a young age. You were gifted with a lightsaber. But without training and discipline, those skills fade. All right, now time. You're Freddie Prinze Jr., sir.
So it seems.
All right, fine. Narrator. Who's the narrator? Yoda's the narrator.
Kanan. Up again he gets. Dispirited he is. Yes.
I haven't had to fight with my lightsaber very often. For a while, I chose not to. I was...
Struggles with the moment, Kanan does. Ahsoka helps.
No.
Helps, she does.
You were afraid to use it. I understand.
Appreciates her words, Kanan does. Yes.
I've been teaching Ezra as best as I can. I want him to be the Jedi I'm not, that I couldn't be.
And I want you to be the Jedi that you are.
All right. Listen, I'm just saying there's some Forces of Destiny fans out there that should be in tears right now. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, this is almost as good.
Sure it is.
Have you watched Forces of Destiny yet?
Nope.
Okay, you do not have a right to comment on any of that until you watch it.
No, I've watched two episodes. I have watched two episodes.
Did you watch the one where Chewie was being hugged?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything
was
more.
Was there a flea in it?
No.
I would read it if there's a flea in it. I mean, watch it. I'm not going to watch it if there's not a flea. I'm just saying. All right.
No, it's a wampa.
Actually, he attached this really great hand drawn art. This with the sunset of her handing him a lightsaber. Is that her giving him his lightsaber like back, or I don't know. She's got kind of the cool Ahsoka.
I thought they were reenacting the end of The Force Awakens.
Oh.
I mean, because Kanan's standing there. She's holding a lightsaber out to him.
Yeah. No, that's actually pretty cool. Yeah, that is pretty cool. It would have been nice to see it instead of that young Genosian cutesy teddy bear Ewok Genosian dude fellow. I'm just saying.
Do you remember the Ewok that fell off the stage at Dragon Con? I can't wait for this year's Dragon Con.
I forgot about that. I wasn't even there, but I saw the footage afterwards, and I was so bummed.
Are we gonna do Boba's bounty today?
Yeah.
Okay, course. I'll save what I'm gonna say for that.
Oh, awesome! Because we got like 10 minutes.
Okay, good. Keep going.
So we're gonna we just spent. When did I become so? So, you know, this happened to me in our little private. What's funny is I can't say the name of the group because that gives it away. In our awesome little like private Facebook chat that we have,
yes,
with you and Bethany and a bunch of other Star Wars people, and in that chat, it suddenly became a meme of how Riley doesn't like any of Star Wars collecting. Forces of Destiny or Rebels, by the way, none of which is entirely true, but the fact that I have to give the caveats of the part that I do like because of the wide swaths of things that I don't like makes me realize something, that suddenly I'm that guy and I'm like, why am I so salty? I don't like being the salty Star Wars fan. That's not
you are though. You put down a lot of Star Wars stuff lately about collecting and about Forces of Destiny and Rebels.
Listen, I'm ashamed of this last segment and kind of not really because I
but, you know, we still love you. You're still a Star Wars fan.
It's a flea that, like, you get the flea. If I were a flea on the wall to see Luke Skywalker, somewhere in a pitch meeting with Disney Publishing, someone said, oh, if only you were a fly on the wall to see the Luke Skywalker adventures. And then someone was like, wait a minute, that's the best book idea ever. We're doing it. And now it's a thing.
I'll stop.
Rogue Transmissions. It's going to be Rogue Transmissions. It's going to be in that. All right. So I'm going to hammer through this stuff then. So we actually do have right, some bunch of stuff from Comic-Con. Nothing too major. Rian Johnson revealed a word from the crawl in an interview with the LA Times. It's after joking that it was poop. He actually said, no, it's decimated. So something has been decimated. What do you think? What do you think's been decimated?
Maybe it's referring to the First Order.
Maybe it's referring to Captain Phasma's ego. Oh, snap! Get it? Because it's like, right? It's the ego. It's been decimated. Never mind.
Right. Let's move on.
New character from The Last Jedi. This is Poe Dameron's new wingman. Kai Thrinali.
C apostrophe AI.
A skillful pilot of Abenendo. Sai Thrinali. Which, by the way, the Sai Thrinali is my favorite type of pasta as well. Flies as Poe Dameron as his wingman since the evacuation of Dakar. A lot of apostrophes going on here, folks. Which is also pretty cool. So we're getting like tidbits on The Last Jedi. what do we have here on the, we have some stuff on Poe Dameron, Nia Num, and BB-8, but it's nothing really new.
No, I mean, they had displays of the costumes.
Character descriptions type things.
Right.
Yeah, because Lucasfilm had a big pavilion there, and they did actually have a panel with Star Wars novels tie-ins where that Andrew Sugerman said, I'm just thinking of her. He's the executive vice president of Disney Publishing and talks about the importance of how these books are in one shared universe. They want the films to connect to the games and, you know, that, and those games and books and animation to all connect together. And especially that flea. That flea is really important, to understand the history of Luke Skywalker and the mythology and the backstory of that, remarkable cinematic character. Also, we're getting some Y books on backstories of like Leia, Luke in their younger days, and also we're getting a Journey to the Last Jedi book series, in which case we get The Legends of Luke Skywalker, which Riley will talk about in the next segment, and Rogue Transmissions. Princess of Alderaan by Claudia Gray. The most, I'd say, accolades I've heard of any books in this new Star Wars universe. Claudia Gray, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and then we're getting Phasma! Captain Phasma! I just span around in my chair! See?
Hey, this one shows how she gets off the planet, off of Starkiller Base.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
there's a Marvel comic that will show you how she got out of the trash compactor.
Delilah S. Dawson, who I understand is your neighbor, right?
She's around the corner from me. She just doesn't know that.
Bruce is actually standing outside her house right now.
Well, no, I'm in Indianapolis.
Oh, wait. No. I mean, maybe. Never mind. All right. But so she, quote, you will be afraid of this character. You'll see why she's a captain in the First Order. Okay. Well, I hope so. Listen, if they have like some super BA escape from that kind of redeems, that'd be cool. We have the Canto Bight novel, kind of. This is basically like Tales from Canto Bight, basically. A bunch of short stories from different authors on the casino planet, as it's been dubbed. And then Star Wars Made Easy, that's a new thing for a kids reader to introduce kids to the world of Star Wars. We've got a bunch of stuff from IDW Publishing. I'm going to skip over that.
It's, no!
Yeah, Mark can talk about it when he gets back.
That's Star Wars Beyond the Films. Check it out.
Yes. Yeah, go listen to Star Wars Beyond the Films for the full book stuff, like I say. Listen, there's a reason. I like to focus on what I'm passionate about in Star Wars, and if it's something I really...
Well, hate, that isn't much.
Stop it. Listen, we just did like two straight shows of nothing but the Disney Park stuff.
Hey, they're gonna do a Marvel adaption of Thrawn. The Thrawn novel is a Marvel comic.
Who's that? Thrawn.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, cool. That sounds like
he was in Rebels.
Oh, I never heard of it.
Hey, as producer, I'm jumping around here. So, okay, get beyond all that. I need you to see the Radio Flyer land speeder.
That ad. I heard it was good. I haven't actually seen it though.
Yes.
All right. Let me pull it up then. Where is it in the notes? Oh, there it is.
It's after the picture there.
Radio Flyer. So this is like this is a little battery powered land speeder thing. All right.
That you ride in.
Let's take a listen / look. Here we go. Come on, Facebook video queuing in 3, 2, 1 and good. Oh, that's loud. The journey continues. A kid-sized land speeder that you can drive. This guy, he's like 9-year-old, is super into it. I love how it's wobbling. Uh-oh.
Okay, guys, time to come inside.
These aren't the kids you're looking for.
All right. These aren't the kids I'm looking for. 10 more minutes.
Aw. And the battery-powered scooter's just like... It's like wobbling up and down. Luke Skywalker's Land Speeder. Available now from Radio Flyer. This is the land speeder you're looking for. We're thrilled to launch the first kid-sized land speeder that you can drive. Pre-order yours today at landspeeder.radioflyer.com.
But isn't that thing awesome?
Listen, you know what my dad would have said growing up? Get your butt inside! And that would have been me. I'm like, 10 more minutes? No! That would have been me. Kids
well,
are
he so... still does that with you.
Even though he's halfway across the world. I'm expecting a text any moment. Yeah, no. Oh, hey, good grief, we're almost out of time.
You're worth a lot to me.
Time for some Boba's Bounty, folks.
As you wish. As you wish. I'm just a simple man trying to make my way into the... Wait! Jango Fett just became Russian. I am simple man trying to make my way into the universe.
That's why he's Trump's favorite character.
We will do this the old-fashioned way.
I see what you did there, sir. He's also that's why Sifo Dyas liked him. He's like,
we will build the biggest clone army ever. It will be beautiful. There will be a big, beautiful tanks.
All right, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Boba's Bounty. Each week we talk about something we did in the Star Wars universe. We have about 30 seconds apiece because Riley has to finish up this segment and do the Rogue Transmissions. And also then go on Ion Cannon in 17 minutes. So let's do this.
Oh, my gosh. And I have two of them.
Roll through, sir. Let's do it. All right, hang on. I'm just going to get the Cantina Band bed music going. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So I was at when I was at church last week, our minister was doing a sermon, and he mentioned the first Star Wars movie he saw. And he goes,
yes!
Well, he's like, I'm confused if it was... Is it the first Star Wars movie or it's the fourth? I don't know. I'm all confused. So I had to meet with him after service and explain to him the difference between it being Episode 4 but being the first movie. So he appreciated that piece of information. And the second thing I want to tell you is that I was traveling last week in Texas with my boss, and we had a we were in the car for quite a while, and she started playing the Star Wars report in the car. That's a weird experience. And the reason I say that is because she asked me to send a link to an episode a long time ago, and I know how long ago it was, because it was an episode taking place the week after Dragon Con.
Oh, wow. That's something.
I forget what we were talking about earlier in the show, but that it reminded me of that because it was something at Dragon Con.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, about the Ewok. We talked about the Ewok falling off stage.
Yeah, no.
And what a weird experience when you're in your car with your boss.
I will listen back to the shows for like quality control to hear how it went down. But yeah, listening around other people's awkward. Because like you could just talk to them personally.
Right. And she's like, who's that guy talking? I'm like, oh, that's Mark. Where does he live? Oh, he lives in Oregon. You know, it's just weird.
That's amazing. Yeah, did you have a second item?
No, those are the two, the church and my boss.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, like, listen, here in the Bible Belt, when you like walk up to the pastor after the sermon and say, you know, there's something you said in the sermon I'd like to talk to you about. Usually it's like a theological disagreement. Here's like, actually, A New Hope is the fourth chronologically, but the first in terms of release order. Hey, for me this week, Boba's Bounty. It's been a busy week. It's been a humdinger of a time. Not done a ton of Star Warsy stuff. Still kind of on the he said eating a strawberry. Still kind of on the high/ processing all the stuff that came in from D23. Had a great conversation though just earlier today on the Atlanta Beltline with an ROTC buddy of mine, and we were talking about sort of the rewatchability factor of Rogue One versus The Force Awakens, and I talked a little bit about how I've evolved on that. In fact, coming out of the theater, I thought of Rogue One as my clear favorite over The Force Awakens. But as time has settled and as I've rewatched it, honestly, it's not nostalgia. Just the brilliance of the story structure, even with all the familiar elements, just make The Force Awakens so good. It's so good. It's so well done. Yeah. And Rogue One has its moments, has its weaknesses that are more noticeable upon rewatches. But we'll talk about that more later on the podcast. That was this week's fun time talking Star Wars. It's funny because on the joke, he's like, yeah, you know, I thought about listening to your podcast, but then I realized I could just call you and get your take. And I was like, well, yeah, that's kind of true. So that's what we were doing on the Atlanta Beltline just this afternoon. Good times. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. It's been a while since we heard the old Jabba flow. Make sure you subscribe to the old podcast. That's a really great way. Make sure you support us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We need 5 more folks to jump on board. You can just do it at $1. Join the Facebook chat and get access to our entire archive of episodes by doing so. patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Also, Rogue Transmissions, available there. Make sure it's our weekly bonus podcast episode. It's available exclusively through patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We got some emails from you guys. We don't have time this week. We'll get to them next week. Make sure you send those emails, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And also, of course, don't forget our Facebook and Twitter. It's just Star Wars Report. Go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. We need those iTunes reviews, so leave us a little 5-star. We really do appreciate that. That helps get the word out. But otherwise, just tell other people about the show. That's the best way to spread the word. Check out this week, Ion Cannon. I'm making an appearance there. That is available on ye old internets very soon. And also, big thanks to Justin Robert Young. Action News, check it out. It's available on Kickstarter right now for about 8 more days as you're listening to this. So go check out Action News on Kickstarter and support Justin. It's an awesome, awesome game. Those guys really put together some fun card games. So make sure
and you
check
can
that
follow
out.
Me at Twitter at Justin R. Young.
Justin R. Young. And tweet him, especially with people who do this kind of stuff a lot, like big creative types. Make sure that you tweet him at Justin R.
And
Young.
Tell him you heard him on Star Wars Report.
Yeah, that's a great way to actually just kind of let him know he's appreciated for giving us his time, because I know he's a busy guy. So definitely tweet him. And while you're at it, tweet Dave Filoni or Ahsoka Kanan theories. why not? And while you're at it, all right, I'm out of time. That's all the plugs. StarWarsReport.com. Go there. I have all the blogs and photos and stuff up from D23. It's all available there. We'll see you guys next time on the Star Wars Report. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. They're sassy Bothans and they're gonna die, so I don't know why I think of them high in the sky as they get shot down. And I'm going down with the Bothan frown. Aw, yeah. Cantina, Cantina. It's the Star Wars band, the Cantina.
Saint Elmo's fire.
All right, we're out of here. We got to stop this freestyle rap stuff. It's so bad. There's so much singing in this episode. We're going to get emails, I bet.